Once again, scientists have used spacecraft to find amazing new features in space. And once again, Idaho scientists are at the forefront of that discovery. Using data from the International Cassini spacecraft, a team including University of Idaho astrophysicist Jason Barnes has found what appears to be giant dust storms on Saturn's moon Titan. This is only the third place in our solar system where scientists have found dust storms. With me today is U of I physics professor Jason Barnes. You'll remember he was on Idaho Matters back in April to talk about sending a drone to Titan, and it was a great conversation. So welcome back to the program.
Thanks.
I want to ask you first about Cassini. What was this mission, and what were scientists hoping to accomplish?
Well, Cassini was the first big follow-up, actually, on the Voyager missions, which were sent in the 1980s, launched in 1977. They flew by Saturn and its giant moon Titan in 1980 and 1981, and they found this amazingly large world. It's larger than the planet Mercury, and it's the only moon in our solar system that has an atmosphere. But unfortunately, that atmosphere is covered in haze, so think like LA's smog, but even more intense. Oh. So we can't. It wasn't even able to see down to the surface. So Cassini was sort of designed to be able to penetrate that smog and be able to see down to what's going on the surface of Titan. And it was one of these old style, really big missions, very ambitious, and involved many, many different scientific instruments in many different countries. We collaborated with the Europeans to do it. And it was really a fantastic and very capable mission.
So then how in the world did your team actually find the dust storms on Titan, especially with this haze that you're talking about?
Well, my group and the team we worked with use an infrared instrument that works at longer wavelengths than the visible light that our eyes can see. And that longer wavelength is able to go through the haze and see through the haze down to the surface. So this works like photographers, if it's smoky out, will use a near-infrared filter because that longer wavelength is a little bit longer than the smoke particles are in size and is able to see through them. So using a similar sort of approach, we were able to look through the haze at these different colors that your eyes can't see and be able to see down to the surface in many places. And I had some students that were doing maps of the surface every time we'd fly by Titan. And suddenly we saw this new thing that had popped up. And they were like, what is this? And that's what sort of was our first indication that we were seeing a new effect.
Okay, so what makes it so important about finding these dust storms on Titan?
Well, there's only the only other places we know of dust storms are Earth and Mars, right?
Mm-hmm.
The dust storms on Earth typically happen in deserts. They happen when you maybe get a thunderstorm and you get outwash from a thunderstorm. You get high winds that will kick up dust. And in the Arabian Desert, for instance, these are called haboobs, H-A-B-O-O-B. What a wonderful word.
And what that is, I love that.
And this was like, oh, you guys saw that in the movie, Mission Impossible, I think it was Ghost Protocol, when he was climbing the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, suddenly there's this giant dust storm that hits, and that's the kind of dust storms
that you're talking about.
We think we're seeing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the ones on Mars are ginormous. They cover the entire planet, and in fact, we just had one of these giant planet-girdling dust storms a couple months ago. And in fact, this one was so intense that it seems to have done in our Intrepid Opportunity rover. That this is one of those Mars rovers that was launched in 2003.
You're kidding.
It lived for 14 years, but the dust storm was so intense that it prevented light from getting to Opportunity's solar panels. And we've been listening for it since the dust storm has abated, and we haven't heard from it. So we think it might be dearly departed at this point.
So then when you talk about Titan, it has an atmosphere, it has liquid on the surface, so it's kind of like Earth, but not quite, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the physical processes are remarkably similar to those on Earth. We see clouds and we see rain, we see riverbeds, and there are active lakes near the North and South Pole on Titan. There's sand dunes on Titan and mountains and a lot of very Earth-like features. But the temperature is so cold there that none of the chemistry is even remotely similar to what we see on Earth. The rain, instead of being made of water, is made of liquid methane, which is the natural gas that you use in your burner and your stove back home.
Wouldn't that be a little smelly?
Surface, well, it's the stuff they put in your actual stove is intentionally smelly so that you'll notice.
Oh, so that you know. Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
All right.
That,
okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Methane does come from cow farts on Earth, but it actually it doesn't have any inherent smell.
Okay, good.
You wouldn't be able to notice. It's perfectly safe. But the water on Titan, there's water all over Titan, but it's so cold, the water is the rock. The surface rock is basically ice. And unlike a glacier, which can flow a little bit, this ice is so cold, it's basically like bedrock on Earth. So the chemistry is extremely alien, but the physical processes are remarkably similar. And it's really useful to us to be able to compare those processes in very different conditions to those we see on Earth and other places.
I'm speaking with University of Idaho physics professor Jason Barnes about dust storms on Titan. And since you were finding these dust storms, so what exactly, you know, does that mean to you? I mean, does that mean like potentially there could be, you know, life, whether that's plants or anything like that? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, the dust storms on Titan seem to occur over Titan's sand dunes, which is interesting. Titan's sand dunes are made of very interesting material. The sand on Earth, right, is mostly silicon dioxide, SiO2, which is, you know, what we melt down to make glass out of. It's not a particularly interesting chemical in that sense. But on Titan, the sand dunes and presumably the dust that's derived from them are all made of organic particles. So think of, you know, the sand dunes as giant mountains of coffee grounds, and the dust as organic dust that's been blown into the air. So what's exciting about it is that these dust storms are a mechanism to sort of redistribute that organic material around the planet or around the moon of Titan. And we think that that organic material, right, if you were to somehow get liquid water and mix that organic material in, or you were to mix that organic material into the liquid methane lakes, you might have conditions that would allow prebiotic chemistry to form and perhaps self-replicating molecules, and you might be able to get similar processes to those that might have formed life back on Earth 4 billion years ago.
And were you expecting to find this, or was this a huge surprise to you and your team?
Well, this is not what we were looking for at
all.
I have to say, we saw this and we're like, oh, looks like there's a big change on the surface. We looked at the spectrum. It looks like it was coming from above the surface. It wasn't coming from, you know, the ground. And so we're like, oh, it must be a cloud. But the spectrum is inconsistent with a cloud. In fact, we can sort of see through the dust storms to the surface features in some places, whereas the clouds on Titan tend to be really thick. We wouldn't be able to see through them. So this is, we actually saw these dust storms back in 2008 and 2009, and it's taken almost 10 years for us to go through the computer models to really establish that we were seeing exactly what we thought we were seeing. And that's part of why it was so hard. But it was really my students here at the University of Idaho that came out, that first suggested the idea that they were dust storms. And it seems that that's what's been borne out.
And so then what do you do with this information?
Well, one of the things I'm interested in doing with this is, you mentioned that I'm working on this project to send a giant quadcopter to Titan. We would like to not land in dust storms, actually.
That'd be a good idea.
Thankfully, the dust storms we see, by identifying them, being able to note when they happen, they seem to only happen during equinox. So, right, equinox is the transition from summer to fall, mm-hmm. or from winter to spring, like the one we just had a couple weeks ago here. We had the fall equinox.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it seems to be a seasonal thing. We saw a couple of dust storms right over equinox, and we haven't seen anything now that we're in North Polar summer on Titan. So this is both a cautionary tale, but also somewhat reassuring that, yeah, there are these dust storms, but they seem to be happening at a time when we wouldn't expect to see them when we will be landing, which isn't until 2034. So we have a
little bit of time. Okay, so let's talk about this. This is the Dragonfly mission, because the last time you were here, you still needed to get the go ahead from NASA. So where are you at with this mission?
Well, we're still working on our second stage proposal, which we will submit in December. And then NASA will evaluate those proposals, and we'll find out hopefully next summer or so whether or not we are selected for flight, in which case, you know, the money would really come through. We'd start building hardware in order to be able to launch in the year 2025. So we hope to be able to go to Titan and really look to see if prebiotic chemistry is going on there and how far it might have progressed. But we're going to have to wait. It's going to be be a long time. So patience is a virtue in my business.
Right. No kidding. Because if you are able to do this, this Dragonfly mission, you don't want to have happen on Mars, right? Where now you can't find the what do you call it, a rover?
I don't know the
sciencey terms. So that's a potential with these dust storms. So if you're going to spend all of this money and all of this time, you want this to work.
Exactly right. We only got one shot at it. We can't send up an astronaut with a wrench to bang on it if it doesn't work. So we really need to think ahead. The Opportunity rover was amazing. It was designed to work for 90 days, right? Mm-hmm. Ended up working for 14 years. So it was an overwhelming success, despite the fact that it did eventually succumb to the dust storms. But they were actually absolutely right. We want to be ready for this sort of thing. And our instruments on board the quadcopter are pretty smart. They're able to, you know, before we ever take off, we're spending most of our time on the ground. Before we'd ever take off, we're gonna monitor the weather conditions, mm-hmm. and if anything weird is going on, we would veto a takeoff. We wouldn't fly at all.
But now you know.
We know to look for it at least, right?
Right. Yeah.
The expectation is that you'd have maybe winds that are maybe 2 meters per second, which would kick up dust like we see. It's not all that fast, but it's like 4 or 5 miles an hour. But at the same time, we want to, you know, any kind of wind when we're landing is the tricky part. So that's what we want to avoid. And I think we should be able to do that if we're careful, especially now that we know it's coming.
Well, good luck to you in December when you find out if you move forward. And if you do, I know you said it'll be, 2025 when you launch?
Yeah, it'll be a while.
Okay. Well, you know, hey, if we're still on the air and you're still at the University of Idaho, let's talk about it then.
I would love to. That sounds great.
Hey, good luck. I love talking with you. Thank you so much. I've been talking to University of Idaho astrophysicist Jason Barnes about the new discovery of dust storms on Saturn's moon Titan, as well as the Dragonfly mission that they are waiting to see if that gets the go-ahead from NASA. Jason, thanks so much for the chat.
Thank you. It's been great.